Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
To the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me today to look ahead to a great weekend are Paul Keighley, David Jennings, and a very warm welcome to a postcast debutant from Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. So what have we got? It's ITV for the Scottish Grand National. They've got five races at air. We've also got some really, really strong stuff down at Newbury, including, of course, the Greenham, which may well have some Guineas clues. And then we'll look ahead to Sunday, where there's some decent stuff at Navan, plus three jumps fixtures in Britain, and hopefully Kills is currently sussing one as we speak. But first of all, let's get to know Niall. Welcome along, Niall. What is your job title at Paddy Power?
I'm an expert odds compiler, so very similar to Frank Hickey.
Oh, really? But a better judge than Frank?
I wouldn't say that, no. He's probably better at tipping up winners. I might be slightly better at value, but we'll see.
Oh, excellent. Good. Oh, we look forward to that. Flat or jumps?
Jumps, man.
What's your all-time favourite horse?
Brave Inca.
Brave Inca. What's the most you've ever won on a bet?
It would be in the low five figures. So, yeah, good. I've got Frank's got a few years in me yet, but I'm hoping to get there at some point.
Who makes the team more often, you or Frank?
That'd be me.
And dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Good man. Excellent. Lovely stuff. Well, you've got all the prizes and hopefully some debut winners as well. Let's get stuck into the big race of the day. It's the 405 at air. It's the Coral Scottish Grand National. And Niall, read on with some Paddy Power prizes.
Yeah, we are 8-1 Vicente, 9-1 Ballyoptic, 10-1 Fagan, 10-1 Vintage Clouds, 10-1 Doing Fine, 12-1 Beware the Bear, and 14-1 Bar.
And as you're the debutant, you go first. Who wins the Scottish Nash? Nice, easy one.
Yeah, Vicente is obviously very solid, and I can't see him not being involved, but the one I like at a price is Joe Farrell. It's trained by Rebecca Curtis. Now, a quick look at his overall profile wouldn't inspire confidence. Though he's had several excuses for some of his poor runs. The day he caught my eye was behind Mia's Storm on good ground early in the season. He was beaten 17 lengths that day, but he had the ultimate winner, Q Star Savola, in behind him, so it looks like useful form. You'd really have to watch the race back to know where I'm coming from here, because he ran much better than that finishing position suggests. All he seems to do is jump and stay, so I'm hoping this test could really suit. He didn't run great after that, but pre-Christmas, Rebecca Curtis' horse weren't in brilliant form. He came back after a break in March, and he absolutely hacked up at Newbury. He won by about 20 lengths. He's gone up £11 for that. But I'm hoping just a combination of this trip and the better ground will bring out the very best of him here. And I think he's a cracking each way, about 33-1.
Oh, very good start by Niall there. Niall knows his onions. Kills, who do you think is going to win this?
I got a few at a fancy. One of them, Alan King's Label Des Oboe. He won the Staying Novice Handicap Chase on the card last year. He's actually £1 lower because he hasn't had the best of seasons. But he was third to Mike Bite at Sandown earlier in the year. And he was sixth in the Skybet Chase at Doncaster. And he wasn't given any Cheltenham entries at all. This has been the plan, obviously, go back up to where he's run so well before. He's a seven-year-old. I think he's absolutely crying out for a proper staying trip, which he's yet to try. And I think it just has to go well. So too, though, does Ballyoptic, Nigel Twiston Davis. Now, he's won this race a few times, twice with novices, both of whom ran in the RSA before coming here. Now, Ballyoptic would be much better than them. I think it was Captain Dibble and Earth Summit at the time. Ballyoptic would be better than them. They were at the same stage. It's fourth to the RSA. Obviously, I think Presenting Percy will win next year's Gold Cup. It's a good bit of form. He's running off a mark of 149. You've got to remember that he was 162 middle of last season over hurdles. So he's definitely got the class. And if he stays a trip, I think he has to be in there.
Okay. Niall, when Paul Keighley comes on to Paddy Power for a bet, do you all, cower? Do you get a little bit nervous?
I don't really follow him in.
Don't you? Oh, you follow him in?
No. We definitely cut the price anyway. He's well respected.
Good, jolly good. I obviously won't ask the same question about DJ, because he certainly isn't. But DJ, who's going to win the Scottish National?
I don't usually do this, but I like two stabs at it, if that's all right, Bruce.
Of course, and they're two big prices, London, yeah. Isn't it? So why not?
After years and years and years and years of watching the Scottish National Air, I think I've come to the conclusion that you simply have to race prominently because they never seem to get into it from behind. Now, that could be recency bias, I don't know, but I think you need something that's up with the pace. The two I like And I can see Paul's angle with Ballyoptic. I certainly think he's got a chance, but he's off 149. If he's given him a chance, I think you've got to give Sizing Tennessee a big chance. He's off 145. I thought he ran really well in the 4 miler. Like, he was still in front coming down to the second last that day under Barry O'Neill. Like, obviously Ratvinden and Miss Parfois obviously swept past him, and he finished tired. But the ground, like, as we know at Cheltenham, was really holding. And like, off 145, I just think Ayre is the type of track that'll suit him. He's been running all season at Cheltenham, and he's been making errors constantly at crucial stages. He's just not a complete natural jumper. But that's why I think Ayre is probably the place for him. I could be wrong here, but I don't think it's the toughest test of a jumper. I think he can brush through them. I think he get away with mistakes. And Sizing Tennessee, I think, is the ideal type for a race. He'll be racing prominently. He's a novice. And I just think he's a type that could get into a rhythm, and I think he'll go well at a big price. And the other one that I cannot let go, I simply have to back the Young Master, because I think he's got to a stage now where he's ridiculously well handicapped. He ran in the Kim Muir off 135. He's been dropped £3, despite it was his best run for some time. He finished 6th to missed approach. Like, if you go back to his form, he won the old Whitbread, I've no idea what it's called now, but the Whitbread, as we know it, he won it in 2016 off a mark of 148. Now, obviously, that's 2 years ago, but that was good ground. He came into that race on the back of finishing third in the Ultima, a similar type of profile to this season, where he's just been crying out for better ground. And for him to finish sixth and beating 18 lengths in the Kim Muir on soft ground, I think he's going to prove a hell of a lot for better ground. So my two against the field are Sizing Tennessee and the Young Master.
Sizing Tennessee and the Young Master for DJ, Joe Farrell for Niall, and who did you go for again, Kills?
Yeah, Ballyoptic and Label Deso Bow.
There you go, just the five for you. Good luck. Okay, let's look at the 145 now. It's the Scotty Brand Handicap Chase, and what's the latest betting on this one from Paddy Power and Niall?
Yeah, Vanito is our 9-2 favourite, followed by the Inval 5-1, Duke of Navan 11-2, Forest being 13-2, and 8-1 bar.
DJ, you go first.
I think Forest Behan is different class to these, Bruce. I was waiting all year for him to run at Aintree, and the ground just didn't dry out in time for the Red Rum Handicap Chase. I just think he's a different horse on good ground. If you go back through his form, like, his form as a novice really does stack up. He was a proper novice, and things have obviously gone a bit astray since, but you know, like, even winning that Grade 2 at Doncaster, he had Cloudy Dream behind that day, and he finished 2.25 lengths behind Waiting Patiently at Newcastle as a novice. He had a little prep at Newcastle during the snow and the all-weather. Presumably for Cheltenham, the ground was too soft. Then for Aintree, I think patience is going to pay off here for Brian Ellison. Forest B, and he's been dropped to 154, so he's gone down £2. And I think he is the class act in the race, and I think he'll win.
Niall, who do you think will win?
Vanito hacked up in this race last year for a mark of 153. It's actually one we've been laying at fancy prices for the Grand Annual all year. That gamble was obviously scuppered by the soft ground, but back on better ground here off a mark of 147. He looks potentially chucked in. If the pipes can get him anywhere near his best, then he'll do for me.
And for you, Kills.
I was completely baffled by the gamble on Vanito at Cheltenham, because I just thought he'd lost his love affair with Cheltenham ages ago. He's a flat track horse nowadays, and you know, I do think he's going to take the hell of a lot of beating. He's rated 147 now. Like I said, he was £6 higher when he won it last year. He won it easily, giving chunks of weight to Romain de Senam, who's gone up massively in the handicap since. And you know, if he does come back to his best, I think he'll just win. He's got that run. I mean, okay, he was beaten 13 lengths by Politolog at Kempton, but you've got to remember that Politolog was rated 165 then and is now rated 169. And Forest Behan was 15 lengths behind off levels, and he's now getting £7 from Forest Behan. I think 9-2 is still a very good price.
Do you think Forest Behan's a rubbish tip by DJ?
I don't think it's a rubbish tip. I think he's a good horse. He wasn't in the right form at Kempton, and he's better than that. But I think he'll struggle. If Vanito comes back to his best, he will struggle to beat him around there.
The 220 is the Dawn Holmes Novice Championship Handicap Steeplechase. I hope Dawn has a lovely day. What's the latest betting, Niall?
Yeah, Dingo Dollar is our 9-2 favourite, followed by Barney Dwan at 6-1, Shades of Midnight 8-1, Keeper Hill 9-1, Impulsive Star 9-1, 14-1 Mr. Mix, 14-1 Ron's Dream, and 16 bar.
Do you sit near Frank Niall? Is your desk position near? Has he been going on about Barney Dwan this week? He loves Barney Dwan.
He's actually been pretty quiet this week. We had a tough week last week, so that may be filtering in. But he hasn't really mentioned it.
Okay, Kills, away you go.
I'm going to stick with Barney Dwan. I've been following him all season. I, I, I deserted him at Cheltenham because of the soft ground. He still ran a really, really good race to finish fourth in the novice handicap chase there. That was off a mark of 1.43, same as now. He definitely wants better ground. I think he probably wants 3 mile on better ground. He was very impressive when he won at Market Raisin earlier in the season. Got to remember that he was only getting a few pounds when second to presenting Percy in the Potemps final last year. 3 mile, decent ground up at Ayr. I think he'd take the world of Bean.
Okay, DJ, what are your thoughts?
It's funny you mentioned Frank there, Bruce, because I did a couple of Cheltenham preview nights with Frank before Cheltenham, obviously. And this Dingo Dollar, right? It was one, you know, when you'd be talking away before the show, or preview night, as they call it. And we'd be chatting away, and what do you fancy in the Ultima? And I said, I fancy one in the Ultima, Frank. What's yours, Dingo Dollar? What's mine, Dingo Dollar? Right. And so we go on the preview night, and it'd be almost like a game of poker. We'd be saying, so I might start off and I go, I think that Dingo Dollar's got a decent chance in the Ultima. And then Frank go, I think he's a certainty in the Ultima. So every time we did it, so the two of us were really keen on Dingo Dollar I probably didn't tell that story too well, but it was funny on the night. And I think Dingo Dollar, he was my idea of the Ultima winner. I don't think this is as competitive as the Ultima. I still think there's scope for improvement off his handicap mark. I don't think Baden has done his recent form any harm whatsoever. He won the artillery race at Sandown, and I thought he ran reasonably well at Cheltenham during the week. I think a flat track, 3 miles, this type of ground off 1.43, I think Dingo Dollar is rock solid here.
And Niall?
Yeah, the one I quite like is Keeper Hill. He still looks very unexposed to me as a chaser. He's off 1.43 here. He's fallen on his last two starts, which isn't ideal, but he actually jumps well in the main. If he had stood up 2 runs ago, I actually thought he would have beaten Barney Dwan, and he's £4 better off here. He loves good ground. 3 miles is his trip, and I think the 10-1, I think, around that's available is very fair.
Okay. You don't normally get 16 runners in Champion Hurdle, but you do for the 2.55 at Ayr tomorrow, the QTS Scottish Champion Hurdle, a limited handicap. 16 runners, 4 places, happy days, and lead on with the betting if you would, Niall.
Yeah, Chesterfield is the 9-2 favourite, followed by Verdana Blue at 6-1. Beyond the Clouds is 15-2. Claimant Taken Forgan 8-1. Flying Tiger 11-1 and 12-1 bar.
And Keels, you can go first.
Yeah, obviously very, very competitive this. There's two I like. Beyond the Clouds is one. He just keeps on winning, and I think he wants good ground. But Verdana Blue, they were going to run her in the Champion Hurdle, but she doesn't want soft ground. She absolutely bolted up earlier in the season at Ascot. Ran well there the time afterwards as well. I think what she wants is a flat track, a really fast 3 miles. She's got plenty of speed, and she's definitely the one to beat for me.
Who's the one to beat for you, Niall?
Yeah, I actually backed Chesterfield during the week, and I can't see how he's not involved. He obviously won this last year, and with Mohead, Lammy Surge and London Prize in behind, that looks like strong form. He's basically off the same mark. The one I wasn't expecting to be declared was Claimant Taken Forgan. The fact he runs here, I'm actually going to switch my allegiance to him. He was a very big eye catcher in the Supreme. He was struggling to stay with him. I'm going to put that down to maybe the ground, but he stuck on really well to only be beaten 5 lengths at the line. He's off 1.47, which is no gimme. But I'm hoping the better ground will help him to travel that bit better. And I think he's definitely an each way bet at 8-1.
DJ, got a strong view on this?
Kind of, Bruce. I'm kind of ashamed of myself here, so I am. I'm going to back Charlie Parks.
Come off it.
I know, but just let me explain.
Ridiculous. No.
Just give me 20 seconds. All I want is 20 seconds.
Is that
seconds.
All? Blimey, go on.
Yeah,
then.
All I want is 20 seconds, right?
Go.
Everybody thinks this horse is completely the overhyped bullshit of a horse, and they're probably right, right? But if you actually go through his form on good ground, forget his Champion Hurdle form, where he had took on Faheen up front, obviously, to make the pace for Bouvard there. The time before that, he ran the Betfair Hurdle.
Okay, the 3.30 is
No, just let me finish really quick. So the time before that, he ran the Betfair Hurdle on bottomless ground again at Newbury. Again, he was disappointing. The time before that, he ran at Ascot in the old Ladbroke Hurdle just before Christmas, and he was kept really wide throughout. Again, lashing rain, horrible ground. Time before that, on better ground at Newbury, he was second to High Bridge. And if you go back to his form last year, when he beat Master Blue Eyes on good ground at Kempton, and then fell behind Master Blue Eyes when he might have won, and even in the Triumph Hurdle when he was sixth, while he was disappointing, they're all decent runs on good ground. So I'm thinking that it's all ground with Charlie Parks. So I'm going to give Charlie Parks another chance.
In punting terms, Dave, he's what's commonly known as a rat. Leave him alone.
Yeah, but he's a 16-1 rat, Paul.
Your loyalty is absolutely ridiculous, honestly, mate. Aoife is so lucky. Not only will you be a good husband, but your loyalty is absolutely unbelievable, mate. You've got to let go, honestly. Right, anyway, the 3.30 is the Jordan Electric's Future Champions Novices Chase. and give us a show of betting now, and then we'll stick with you for the selection.
Yeah, just if anyone wants to know, Frank was ramping Charlie Parks me there as well. So
was he really?
DJ. He was, yeah.
Oh, I'm not. I'm interested now. Tell me more now.
He didn't give a shit when I mentioned it. Oh, Frank, he fancies it now. He's a certainty.
Yeah, I'm after listening to the same story twice, so we'll not dwell on it.
Go on then, 3:30. How do you bet?
Yeah, the 3:30. Mia's Storm is 11-8. Peregrine Run, 100-30. Big Martyrs 4-1, Adrian the Pont 11-2, and Cobra de Mayo is 10-1.
At last, we've got a race where you might have half a chance. They're really difficult, those air races, aren't they? But who do you like here, Niall?
The one I like is Peregrine Run. He's coming off a pretty big absence. I think he hasn't run since August. It's just the fact he actually come over here, I think, is enough to interest me. I like Mia Storm, but she's dropping in trip, and Alan King has not been banging in the winners recently, so it's enough to make me want to take her on at the price. And I think Peregrine Run is the one to do that with.
Who do you like, Kills?
No, I like Mia Storm. I think she'd be different class if she jumps. She looked really good on her first two starts over fences. Won so well that she was sent off 5-2 favourite at Kempton for the Quarto Star. She didn't jump well from the outset there, and then I think she just probably wants better ground.
You do get edgy about stable form, though, don't you?
Oh, I don't worry about stable form. If you look, Alan King had 8 runners at Aintree, and 4 of them finished in the first 4 in races of 19 or more runners. He had a second of 22 at Cheltenham on Wednesday, so, you know, a lot of horses are running behind them, you know what I mean? So it doesn't bother me.
DJ?
Yeah, I thankfully I agree with Paul this time. I think Mia Storm is different class, and you know she's got her ground this time, and I think the race is perfect for her, even the small field. And I know we're talking about Alan King's form, but 3 of his last 6 runners finished second. As Paul said, Azerty ran a cracker during the week at 20-1. Like he's not getting short price favourites beaten. So yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about stable form.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, chaps. That was Air. We'll do Newbury in a minute. But first of all, let's congratulate Matthew from Doncaster, who won the 25 free bet from Paddy Power in our competition. There'll be another chance to win a free bet from Paddy Power in Monday's postcast.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
OK, it's a really good day this, Kills, isn't it? You've got all the great jump stuff at Air, and then Newbury, some decent action down there, isn't there?
Yeah. It's one of my favourite times of the year, this, when you get a mix of the two.
So let's look at 4 races live on ITV, starting with the 2:00, the Dubai Duty Free Finest Surprise, better known as the John Porter. And what's the latest betting, please, Niall O'Reilly?
Yeah, Defoe is our 5-4 favourite. Call to Mind is 9-4. Dane Hill Kodiak 6-1, Autocratic 8-1. What about Carlo 16 and TT McPhee is 20-1.
David Jennings, kick off our Newbury preview with a winner, if you would.
Yeah, there's a little bit of 7-4 about Jermaine Defoe here with another firm, and I won't say who it is, but that is absolutely scandalously big. I think this could go off 4-6. We're talking about stable form, like go through Roger Varian's form. The horse, the couple of them won really well, maidens won really well during the week. That Kazana, or whatever you call it, and Chaika Raika, they absolutely bolted up, I thought, at Newbury or Newmarket during the week. Defoe, I think, is going to make an absolutely beautiful 4-year-old. And I think if he can scrape some of that 7-4 and even 5-4 at 10-2 tomorrow, could look value. I think this will go off 4-6.
Okay. Niall, do you like the jolly as well?
Yeah, it's not a race I'd be having a bet in, but Defoe, he's 2-2 for the track, and he looks the whole Call to Mind on the run of Hamilton. I like Ryan Murphy and back up an Autocratic, though the trip is just enough to put me off. Defoe for me.
Kills?
No, I like the way you picked out the 2 winners that Roger Varian's actually had in the last fortnight. 2 from 23. He's had odds on shots beaten. He had a 2, he had something back down to 2-1 at Ripon yesterday that absolutely got smashed off the boards on a handicap, finished only 7th. I think he's quite out of form. The 2 horses that won both won maidens, and they might have been the best of them. Yeah, they bolted up, but they won maidens at short prices. So what? You know, I mean, this isn't a maiden. This is a race where everything's, you know, got some class in it. And if Defoe isn't at his best, he'd get beat. Call to Mind is probably the biggest danger. But if I was having a bet, I think I'd have a little bit on Daniel Kodiak. He got some good form from last year. He's a very, very tough horse. He won first time out last year. He ran a career best first time out at the track the year before, when 4th in the London Gold Cup. And even though he's under a penalty, I think he's got the form to run well.
I like the if I was having a bet.
Yeah, I probably won't. I've got to do live tips tomorrow. There's loads of racing on. It's not going to have time.
You've got to work.
Yeah, I've got to work. Yeah.
Nice.
Not happy.
How many tips will you put up?
Hey, I don't know.
Under or over 15? Would that be the spread?
It'll be under 15, but it might be over 10.
Excellent. Good. Well, tune in on racingpost.com for Paul Keighley doing live tips
tomorrow.
It won't
be Defoe.
Okay. The 235 is the Dubai Duty Free Stakes. It's the Fred Darling in Old Money. Gavotta heads the market, Niall.
Yeah, Gavotta is 6-4, followed by Tejanus at 4-1, Hikma 9-2, Natural 8-1, Dan Steve at 11-1, and 16-1 bar.
Who wins this one, Paul Keighley?
Well, I think Gavotta's miles too short, basically, on what she's done. You know, I don't think any of these are superstars anyway. They don't look like it. But, I mean, Gavotta was beaten by Juliet Capulet last year. Tejanus beat Juliet Capulet before that, and is more than twice the price. I think Tejanus won 3 of 5 last year. I think she's the one most likely to turn over the favourite. But this is another race that, you know, you can get loads of shocks in it. And there's a horse in here right down the bottom, 25-1 shot, called Dan's Dream with Mick Shannon. Now, he's only won a 5.5 furlong maiden at Bath 3 weeks ago. But the trainer said afterwards they had to win all
the races.
Is that
the 4-race card?
Yeah, might have been, yeah. The trainer said afterwards they had to win all the races last, all the big entries last year, but she just went wrong. So they've always thought the world of her. Now, Mick Shannon has won this race 4 times, including with a 25-1 chance that came straight out of a Hamilton maiden. I'm just quite interested in, you know, having a stab at a price. I think if you bet short price favourites in Guinness Trials this year, you ought to take up Fobtys instead, because it's just completely bonkers. You know, we've already had a 25-1 winner with a Nell Gwynn. We've had an 8-13 shot turned over in the Craven. And if you want to back these things at 6-4, first time out as 3-year-olds, I think you're mad.
So Dan's Dream at 25 for Kills. DJ, who do you think will win this?
I better learn how to play them Fobtys, Bruce. I think this is different class. If Dan's Dream wins this, like, you've no idea how much respect I have for Paul Keighley. Like, it's just incredible. I love the man, but like, this Dan's Dream can't win this race. Like, there was 3 horses tailed off after furlong in that mess of a race in Bath. It was a shocker. If this wins, this is the shout of a lifetime for Dan's Dream. Gavotta has by far and away the best piece of form in the Oh So Sharp Stakes. Like, that was an absolute cracking run behind Alton Alda, who ran, I thought, really well during the week. I Can Fly also franked the form in the Guineas trial at Leopardstown, and is certainly a horse that they absolutely adore at Ballydoyle. Butterscotch was 4th. It was a proper Group 3 at Newmarket, that Oh So Sharp Stakes in October. Gavotta is a proper filly, and if Dan's Dream finishes in front of Gavotta, what will I do, Paul? I'll buy you pints for the rest of your life.
Hey, well, I'm coming over at Punchdown on Tuesday, so...
Oh, shit. Oh, blimey, you didn't think you'd have to cash that one, did you?
Oh, no.
Excellent.
Is the wedding cancelled?
Niall, are you for or against the Fav here?
Well, I actually put this race up an hour ago just because we didn't have it up, and I put Dan's Dream in at 40-1, so I thought that had no chance. I see now we're 16-1, so we're obviously laying it.
You haven't laid it to me, I haven't had a bean on yet.
Gavotta is the one who I think is a good thing here. Yeah, I thought she was very unlucky two runs ago, and then I backed her when she was beaten by Alton Orda. Now, if you remember that weekend, everything was coming up the rail, and Alton Order certainly benefited from that. Gavotta made her challenge in the middle of the track and was only collared close to the line. Yeah, I think she's by far the best in this race, and I think 6-4 is still a bet. I think there's 7-4 out there.
We've got an even stronger favourite in our next one. It's the big race at Newbury. It's the 3:10, the Albasti Equiworld supporting Greatwood Greenham Stakes, in which Expert Eye so devastating in his first 2 runs as a juvenile before blowing out in the Dewhurst, is odds on here to atone for that run. What price is he now, Niall?
Yeah, he's 8-11. Hagerman is 5-1. James Garfield, 5-1. Fighting Irish, 8-1. 16-1 Connect and 20-1 bar.
So 8 runners, so you can have your dirty each way on James Garfield, who I'm not going to promise, because obviously you can't be definite with horses, but I would be amazed if he's out of the 3. Can he be Expert Eye, though? David Jennings, what do you think?
No, I think Expert Eye could be something a little bit special. I haven't given up on Expert Eye at all. I thought the quote from Sir Michael Stout, maybe Paul will remember better than me, but he was interviewed in the last couple of weeks, and he said, if you had seen the piece of work that Expert Eye did before the Dewhurst, I can't remember, it was something he phrased it in such a way, you'd be... like obviously in the poorhouse, but there was a way of describing it. Like, he's just basically said that it was the most extraordinary piece of work that nearly he has ever witnessed. And I think you can, like, you know me now, Bruce, my loyalty and forgiveness is absolutely huge. So I can certainly forgive Expert Eye one flop. And yeah, I just think I won't back at him in the race, but I think he could win this easily.
I've backed him for the guineas. Someone told me this week, a very shrewd person told me that his work is absolutely phenomenal. As long as he doesn't boil over, then apparently he is still the real deal. Kiels, what's your view on Expert Eye?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you have to ignore the GRS run because that was just far too bad to be true. He won the vintage stakes at Goodwood, you know, and he won it by 4.5 lengths. Now, the second has won listed races in Maidan this year. The third won the Fielden Stakes earlier in the week. The fourth won the Mill Reef, who was James Garfield, and he was beaten 5.5 lengths. And the fifth won the Champagne Stakes at Doncaster. I mean, you can't get a better, more solid piece of form. And if he's back to that, he'll win. He did look a potential superstar. Dave said, like, you know, I mean, it's not a race I'll be betting in. In fact, if I do, it'll probably be James Garfield each way because I think he's the most solid. But again, you just don't know this time of year whether he'll come out and do it.
Absolutely.
You know, it certainly wasn't Newmarket that got him beat there, was it, Expert Eye, because he'd already won there. So I just think, you know, I'd love to come out and see a top-class performance, but I won't be punting on it.
I tell you, that was one of Frank Hickey's best shouts when he put James Garfield up at Royal Ascot last year. No one had ever heard of him after a little race at Leicester, and he finished third and ran really well and has done brilliantly ever since. So, Niall, before you give us your view on whether you think Expert Eye is going to win, has there been much money for him this week?
Yeah, I cut him to 8-1 from 10 yesterday. That was more so on the back of the Craven. Just the favourite disappointing there. But yeah, no, we've definitely seen some support for him.
And do you think he'll win tomorrow?
Yeah, I do think he'll win. He's got a wide enough price range, depending on the vibes. I did hear he was lame last time. I think that's in the Racing Post comments as well, as in he was lame for the Dewhurst. So if he's anywhere near his form that he showed at Goodwood, I think he'll win easily.
And lads, very quickly, just one word. I don't want 3,000 words, David Jennings. If you had a free bet on the guineas now, who would you back? Kiels?
Saxon Warrior.
DJ?
Gustav Klimt.
And Niall?
Gustav Klimt.
Okay, right. Our other race at Newbury is the 3:45. The Elite Racing Club supports Greatwood Spring Cup. Wide open affair, this one, Niall.
Yeah. Just one second. Yeah, Afak is our 7-1 favourite. Tactier is 8-1. It's 9-1 Tony Curtis, 10-1 Humbert, 12-1 Born to Be Alive, 12-1 Leader Writer, 12-1 Gilgamesh, and 16-1 Bar.
And Kiels, I'm 51. I should be a bit more mature than this, but do you fancy Afak?
No, not at all, mate.
Who do you fancy?
Very, very good. I think it's worth giving George William a chance. He won first time out 2016 and 2017. Finished fourth in this race last year. Best run of last year, arguably, was his third in the listed race at the track after an 11-week break last year as well. He ran two times in Maidan in January and February. He didn't run at all well there. But he comes back to a track that he obviously handles very well. I think he's got a shot about 16-1.
Who do you fancy, Niall?
The one I like here is Contrapposto. Basically, last year on his seasonal reappearance, he was fourth in the Craven behind Eminent with Ben Battle in third. So that looks very strong for form. He then ran the Dante and something must have been amiss because he ran awful. He's been off since. He was quite keen early in his career, so I think this fast run might really suit him. He's off 99. I've seen 25-1 around. I think if he's going to be fit, he's around a 12-14-1 shot, so the 25-1 is well worth taking.
Righty-ho, and DJ.
I'm trying to figure out your joke.
Yeah, it's an accent thing. If you think how Mrs. Brown's boy says feck, and then think about how we say it, it's slightly different. Okay,
but,
who's going to win this?
Okay.
Yeah, can you not explain it?
Okay, sorry. So I looked at this race and it was obviously in our running order and I said to myself, Lord, holy God, I'm not even going to bother spending time because I couldn't make head or tail of it. But then I just seen my old buddy Elusive Heights pop up, which I gave as my horse to follow for the entire flat season last season with Gerlines. Didn't even know he had left Gerlines. He's left for €34,000. It's 33-1. I thought he was a Group 2 horse in the making last season. It never got going. He had a few niggly problems. He was second to Brendan Brack in the Lister race at Leopardstown. He's gone from Geraldine's to Roger Fell. Roger Fell has booked Ben Sanderson to take off £7. Now, he probably won't win, so this is stupid, but he probably won't win. But he's 33-1, and he's a hell of a good horse, and he'll travel like a dream. So he could be just worth something very small each way at 33-1, Elusive Heights.
Let's get the roundups now. This is where everyone gives us the horses they fancy on Saturday that aren't their naps and aren't in any of the races we've already covered. Niall, do you have anything for us?
Yeah, the 2:30 Tursk, Brock Holes, has been unlucky on both starts this season, coming off over a year off. He blew the start at Sutton last time, though stayed on very well. This doesn't look the strongest race, and he'll have fitness advantage over many. So I think it'll be around 10-1. I think it'll go close.
I'll tell you what, Noel, you're a natural for this, mate. This is a very, very polished debut, if I may say, my friend. Kills, who's your roundup consist of?
I think Curious Carlos, getting back on some decent ground, is going to have a good chance in the fifth race at Ayr, which is the 4:40. That's actually the sixth race at Ayr. Curious Carlos, back on some decent ground.
Okay, and DJ, no doubt you'll be equally concise.
Yeah, I'm absolutely petrified of you, so I'm just going to pick one. In the 4:10 at Limerick, Warnock, I thought, absolutely bolted up at Navan. Thought there was loads more to come. Wayne Lorden is on board again, and I thought Warnock would win again.
Splendid. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Come on, Niall, make your first postcast nap a good un.
Yeah, I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to say Joe Farrell in the 4:05 Ayr.
Lovely 33-1, that would be knocking it out of the park, wouldn't it? DJ, what's your net, mate?
Forrest Behan in the 1:45 at Ayr.
And Kills.
Yeah, I'll go Vanator in the 1:45 at Ayr.
Roddy.
To change mine then?
No, that's fine. We'll do the forecast.
Do you want to do a Trixie, though?
No, we'll do a forecast, and we'll be back with Sunday in just a mo.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, David Jennings, and our new boy Niall O'Reilly from Paddy Power. Looking ahead to Sunday's racing, where it is a mix of flat and jumps. The big prize money is on offer in Ireland at Navan. And I suppose the big race there is, in terms of prestige, the 520, the Vintage Crop Stakes. As a betting event, it might not be quite as exciting, DJ, as you can explain.
Yeah, there's only three runners here, Bruce, and on official ratings, Order of St. George is rated 123, Clongos is rated 96, and Lord Yates is rated 106. So this should be a penalty kick for Order of St. George. The only thing is, he has been beaten in this race at short prices before, and first time out, obviously, is the time probably that he is vulnerable, but he's not vulnerable here because he's got so much in hand. The ground at the moment at Navan is soft, but I am a Navan man, and it's been nothing but splitting the stones, the sun, since maybe Thursday morning. So the ground is going to dry out considerably, but it's still going to be soft enough for Order St. George, and sure, look, he'll win easily.
Okay, should we talk about the Sousabil Stakes at 4:15 instead then, DJ?
Yeah, this is it's a really good card. It's just a pity about the main race. Obviously, we're just having the three runners, but there's some really interesting runners on the card. And in this 4:15, obviously, Aidan has a very strong hand in this. He's got, how many runners has he got? Well, he's got quite a few anyway. Ryan Moore is on Bye Bye Baby. And I thought that would probably win. It's rated 105. She's consistent, and she's ran well in all the real kind of, you know, she won her maiden at Newmarket, then she came back and she won a listed race at Navan quite impressively, and she was, I think she finished off in Leopardstown, she was third to Kenya in the Cullavullin Stakes. I thought it was probably between her and Mary Tudor, who's still a maiden after three runs for Willie McCreary, but that doesn't tell a true story because she's finished second and third to Magical. So I thought it was between them two. I just marginally prefer Bye Bye Baby to Mary Tudor.
Niall, give us your thoughts on the 5:20, the 4:15, and indeed any other horses you fancy at Navan on Sunday.
Yeah, I didn't have a major opinion on the 5:20. Order St. George, I don't know, he'd probably be 5 on or something like that. And the 4:50, yeah, I actually liked Mary Tudor. She gave Magical a fright on debut and then improved on that when third in the debutant stakes with September in behind her. She was disappointing last time, but the ground is very soft at Nace that day. And if it continues to dry out with the weather we're having here, I'm hoping the slightly better ground will bring about some improvement. The step up and trip is also a help, and I think they've stuck a Hudner to help her settle, which may have been a big improvement as well.
Anything else on the card for you, Niall?
No, that's it.
In the
240, different league has her first start for Aidan O'Brien. It does look, it could be a prep over five. The one that I thought was interesting was Speaking Colours on debut for Joseph. Now, I'm not sure if he's going to be ready, but he's very progressive last year. He's in a first-time tongue tie, which could suggest that he could be fairly forward, and he'd do for me.
And what else do you like at Navan, DJ?
Just one, Bruce. In the 3.15, I'm really keen. It will probably be my bet of the day at Navan. Sorel Del Rose in the 3.15. It's interesting. It ran in the Lincoln over a mile. It finished ninth. It was beaten 13 lengths. I did the previews the day before the Lincoln. I was speaking to Dermot Weld on the phone, and I kind of fancied Sorel Del Rose a little bit, and he said, you've no idea how much she's going to come on for the run. She just really badly needs it. And she travelled like a dream that day under Lee Roach. She's back to 6 furlongs from a mile, and she actually won her maiden over 6 at Nace. I think she has more speed than stamina, and she's down to a mark of 84. She won a handicap at Goran Park last year off 83. She's only £1 higher. She went up to 90. And she was second off 90 last season. So I think she's really well handicapped off 84. The drop in trip, the ground should be perfect. She's had the run under her belt. So Sorel Del Rose will be my my bet of the day at Navan.
Awesome. Good info there from DK Weld. Well done, DJ. Kills, anything to contribute to the Irish conversation?
Not to the Irish, no. No.
So where's the jumps fair on right, in Britain? Stratford.
Stratford, Wincanton, and Market Raising. I've got one at Stratford, one at Wincanton. Start Stratford in the 2 o'clock. The old boy, Cervelo, trained by Dan Skelton, won a grand annual in 2014, was fourth in it in 2016. Been in steep decline ever since. But I didn't think he ran too well when 10th at Aintree last time. He's been running on bottomless ground all his, you know, for ages and ages and ages. He's dropped right down the handicap mark. He ran to a race post rating, I think, of 120. I can't remember what it was now, sorry. But he's been dropped £5, and he's getting on good ground for the first time in ages. And I think he'll run well in a race that he can definitely win off a mark of 124. And then we go to Wincanton, the 320. Wilbur Dragon, another one, trained by Charlie Longs. He's only an 8-year-old, but again, getting bogged down in the mud. He's getting some faster ground now. Coming back off a break, I'm pretty sure that he will run well.
And Kiels, will you be keeping an eye out for those horses that have got some good historical, good ground form all weekend? Because it's really, the sun's out, it's going to dry right out,
I think you have to, yeah. I mean, some of them, you know, but there's only a worry is a lot of them have been running, you know, constantly on bottomless ground. They might just have had enough anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what took me out of tipping a horse called Remain de Senham today, because it ran so even worse than it had been doing on soft ground last time, and it'll probably bolt up later on. But there you go. That's, you know, that's one thing you've got to take into account.
Okay, so Kills, you're working tomorrow, your live tips. John, do you enjoy the old live tips to shift?
Yeah, sometimes. It depends on how much on. When there's loads on, like, you know what I mean, you're just tapping away, and you don't have an awful lot of time. Like, okay. You know what I mean?
But, and what's Sunday going to hold for you?
Sunday, I've got no real plan Sunday, so might involve a little bit of drinking at some point.
And when are you heading out to Ireland?
I'm heading out to Ireland Tuesday morning.
Looking forward, that's your debut at Punchestown, isn't it?
Yeah, Punchestown, never been to Punchestown.
He'll have a great time, DJ, won't he?
Oh, he'd be a hero over here.
Really? Will he get recognised?
Absolutely, Paul Keighley, yeah. People will just like want to go drinking with him and stuff. I'll have to drag them away from them.
They're all welcome to do that.
That can be arranged. Excellent. Well, have a great time at Punchestown, Kills. I'm sure it's going to be exciting. Unfortunately, I'm not going over there this week, but do have a brilliant time. DJ, all geared up for Punchestown?
Yeah, can't wait. It's a great weekend. It's just been enhanced now by Paul Keighley's appearance.
Yeah, and we've got a daily postcast as well, so no doubt you'll be involved in them, will you? What are you doing in the meantime? If you've got a big weekend, if you've got a big week at Punchestown, presumably you've got to look after Aoife this weekend and show her some love, dear.
Yeah, kind of. I have a strange weekend because I have football championship tomorrow night, and I was the focal point of some controversy there 2 weeks ago because I got a black card as a goalkeeper, which means you have to leave the pitch, but the referee got the rules mixed up and allowed me to stay in goals to face the penalty. So I basically got sent off. The referee thought I was allowed to stay on, so I stayed in goals to try and save the penalty. Didn't save it, and it went in, and then I had to go off.
What did you get sent off for?
The guy was clean through and I went to save the shot, but I kind of tripped him up, so it was like a last man tackle kind of thing.
Blimey. And, do you play quite a high standard, DJ? I mean, how many people will be watching your game on Saturday night, roughly?
A couple 10? Of hundred, like.
200?
No, a couple of hundred. Yeah, a couple really? Of hundred, yeah.
They don't
yeah.
pay, yeah.
Oh,
do
it's they? Big club football in Meath, especially football, is huge, like, yeah.
Wow. Okay, well,
the tenner in. It's a tenner in.
A tenner. People money, pay money to watch DJ play Gaelic football. That's absolutely incredible. Okay. Well, good luck, mate. Niall, what's the weekend hold for you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm working tomorrow. I'm off Sunday, so I might be heading to a place called Copperface Jack's on Saturday night.
And what's that?
That's a horse, that.
It's a famous nightclub in Ireland.
Is it?
Yeah, you'd enjoy it, I'd say.
Will you be dancing?
I don't know. I'll see how the night goes.
And will it be Guinness or lager?
Guinness to start with, and then a mix of other drinks.
Oh, blimey, that sounds messy. Well, listen, Noel, I hope you enjoyed your podcast debut. We certainly enjoyed having you on. Will you come back and do it again soon, yeah?
Yeah, I will, surely.
Well played, my friend. Good luck with everyone at Punchy Stand next week. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the show's plates, please make sure you rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, because nothing will happen. We are back with the weekend review on Monday. And then, like I say, daily podcasts every day next week from Punchy Stand. Don't miss them.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.